A reading from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The law of God is relentless towards sinners. It is impossible for fallen men. The law at its most basic is summarized in two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Whoever breaks the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, just when you think you're doing good, the relentless law pegs you again and says, aha! Gotcha. According to your old man, you indeed are least. No matter how much you try to look away, you are not better than most, nor better than even a few. You're even good at pretending the law is important when someone offends your sensitivities. But in keeping the law of God, in teaching the law of God, or even being mindful of the law of God, you are all by means the least. You stand convicted by the very words that you use to judge someone else. Therefore, in the collect for this week, we do usually preach on collects. I always like to tie them in when they are extra beautiful, and this one is a doozy. And we'll pray it again in a few minutes. When we pray for God to graft in our hearts, the love of his name, and increase in us true religion, nourishment, and mercy, we are not, when we pray this, praying for the law. True religion, for you, for me, as sinners, is never found in the law. And this fact contradicts every other religion in the world. It even contradicts most other Christian denominations, at least in practice. True religion is only found in Christ. It is Jesus who did not destroy but fulfilled all that the law and the prophets have recorded. It was Jesus who preserved every jot and tittle of the law for himself. And the law has been satisfied, fulfilled, and completed for you. But it has not been abolished. It is still binding. It is still how God desires us to live and describes the best, healthiest, and happiest way to live. When we break it, there are consequences. People get hurt. Our lives are made more complicated and are disappointing. Despite the promise of your temptations to make you happy, they leave you empty and lonely, don't they? Faith is weakened, sin is dangerous and deadly. But we are sinners who have been born from above by water and the Spirit and are not slaves to sin. We are anointed by God. Christ our Lord died to sin and has been raised again. And you have been joined to that death, buried in the waters of holy baptism with him, and raised up again to life with him. You have been made his, alive, living, and pure. It has all been done for you. There is nothing to pay back. Christ has fulfilled the law. But he did not come to abolish Moses and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He didn't come to set aside the commandments, but to keep them. And in keeping them, to fill them up with himself and bring them to their desired end. Now, to relax the law, and many today are very tempted to do this, to ease the burden of the law, to smooth out its edges, it may seem like a gospel-y thing to do. And we live in an age when many who are otherwise faithful are actually doing this, maybe even among us. The temptation today is to relax the law so that we'll ease the pressure on a guilty conscience. When you think about it, it seems so very inclusive to say, God loves you, sweetheart, regardless of what you think and do and say. Sounds so gospel-y to say, let us sin so that grace may abound, right? And who cares about sin since we're under grace and not under the law, right? They are all variations of the devil's original did God really say narrative. Well, yes, he did. And Jesus warns us here that whoever relaxes the commandments and their demands will be called least in the kingdom. Jesus didn't relax these commandments. Actually, in Matthew, he amplifies them. The law said, don't kill. Jesus says, don't even hate. The law said, don't commit adultery. Jesus says, don't even think about it. The law says, love your neighbor. Jesus says, love your enemy. Here's the bottom line, folks. To diminish the law, to lighten or attempt to lighten the load of the commandments is ultimately to diminish the work of Christ, who came to fulfill them with his obedience. It's to say, well, Jesus didn't really have to do that. God didn't really mean that. He's like our permissive parent in heaven, who takes us out for ice cream after threatening to ground us for a couple of weeks. When we write off the commandments, we are in effect writing off the work of Jesus. And make no mistake about that. If you make the commandments light enough, if you wipe them out one iota at a time, sooner or later, you won't need Jesus at all. Why do you need a Savior if you have no sin? Why do you need a redeemer if the law doesn't mean what it says? That is the great lie of what we call antinomianism. It sounds so loving, so enlightened, so gospel-y, and it takes our focus off of Christ. There is only one Christ, and he was no antinomian. He was the end of the law for all who believe. You see, when the law has done its work, it will be like a divine Uber dropping you off dead at the feet of Jesus. That's all the law can do for you, my friends. It can deliver you dead on arrival to Jesus so that he can raise you. Because that's what he does. He doesn't raise living people, he raises dead people. So, let us rejoice in the law. The law that God has given us, let us meditate on it. It is good and wise. Let the law do its work, and let Jesus do his in you. In the name of Jesus, amen.